Welcome to the Conscious Millionaire Show, episode number 1561.
Hi, this is Perry Marshall, author of Evolution 2.0. And on today's show, we will reveal Evolution 2.0 for entrepreneurs.
Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the number one show for the conscious entrepreneur who wants to make your first million. Join JV on each episode as he interviews a millionaire entrepreneur or world-class expert. You're listening to the Conscious Millionaire Network, named in Inc. magazine as one of the top business podcasts and heard by 12 million listeners in 190 countries. Now, join your host, JV Crum III, mindset and strategy expert, serial entrepreneur, and author of the number one international bestseller, Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business by Making a Difference.
How do top entrepreneurs create a plan that almost guarantees what they can take to the bank? They engineer their profit up front. That's right. They engineer their profit up front. Now, you can get the 6 steps to higher profits and get your business on the path to consistent profitability. Go to cogentanalytics.com/profit. Again, go now to cogentanalytics.com/profit to download your free ebook now. Hello, this is your host, JV Crum III, and I'm totally excited that you've joined us because I have an amazing guest. He is actually an expert in stealing business lessons from biology. Help me welcome our featured guest. He's one of the world's most expensive and sought-after business consultants. Clients seek his ability to integrate engineering, sales, art, and psychology. He's consulted in over 300 industries and served as an expert witness for marketing and Google AdWords litigation. My guest today, Perry Marshall. Perry, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. We're going to have an exciting talk today. Thanks for having me, JB.
We are going to have an exciting talk because you are the author of Evolution 2.0, and we're going to be discussing Evolution 2.0 for entrepreneurs. But let's start with the basics. What do you mean by Evolution 2.0?
So there's a huge shift happening in science, and it's rippling out into the rest of the world. Actually, I could almost say there's a huge shift in the rest of the world, and it's rippling into science. You could make both arguments, but there's a kind of this old school way of understanding evolution that you hear about in the press, and it's really largely misleading. And it's the idea that the be-all, end-all is survival of the fittest and competition and natural selection. And I would be the last to deny that that is a fact, okay? That you know, some businesses succeed and some businesses fail and that there's competition. Nobody's arguing that, but that is not evolution. Butting heads against the other guy directly is not evolution, and you should avoid doing it whenever humanly possible. And there was a brilliant scientist named Lynn Margulis. She died about 7 years ago, and she championed the idea that almost all evolutionary events are gigantic victories of cooperation, of new levels of integration between two dislike organisms. And it's important to realize that a lot of the evolutionary theories in the 1800s came from people studying businesses and economics. And if you think about, if you were walking down the street in London in 1850, and you looked and you're walking by a butcher shop, and you're walking by a bookstore, and you're walking by a restaurant, you're walking by a blacksmith, fairly primitive businesses and fairly primitive conceptions of what business is, in a pretty limited range of things that you could go buy. And you look at what's going on now and the massive proliferation where you can buy almost anything literally at your fingertips. And the science metaphors that they had at the time came from the business metaphors, and we're in the 21st century now.
This is exciting because it's mechanistic. I know where you're headed. It was a mechanistic world.
Yes, and it was a very like watchmaker, yes, you know, gears
and,
grinding.
And, that, and that's how philosophy was developed as well.
That's right. And it led to people looking at our bodies like they're machines. Okay. Exactly. Now, we'll all certainly acknowledge that my hand is, it is analogous to a machine, but it's actually 10,000 times better than any machine. Okay. And my daughter has a prosthetic leg. All you need to do to get a humility dose of human technology is go to a conference where they've got prosthetic arms and legs, and you'll be like, you know, I'll take the original ones. Thank you very much. And not insulting anybody, you understand, but that human technology is eons behind what biology is. And so there's a bunch of stuff that you can learn from the natural world and apply into business. I've made a career of doing this. It's one of the biggest components of my creativity resources. Like, I don't even read that many normal business books anymore. I tend to read nature books and philosophy books and mathematics books, and I pull things into business. And the people that go to my seminars and read my newsletters, they'll tell you that. Yeah, you know, you never know what Perry's going to be trying to make you think about next. So JV, that's what we're here to talk about.
So evolution 1.0, just to make the clear dichotomy and distinction here, evolution 1.0 was the Darwinian version of competition, survival of the fittest. How is evolution 2.0 different from that?
Well, evolution 1.0 is that, and it's also this notion that evolution is this mindless machine, yes, that just
that's right. When I was pre-med, I actually took a whole course on evolution, so I love this whole area. And the thing that's missing, and I'll just throw this out, the likelihood, if you think about the complexity of a human being, the likelihood that we are only the result of randomness is just absurd. You wouldn't get there. So it's what's left out is some intelligent force. There's no intelligent force in evolution 1.0.
Right. That's exactly right. And what science, you know, for the last 10 or 20 years, what the science has been telling us is that cells are profoundly intelligent. The reason you have to finish your antibiotics all the way until the bottle is empty is because if you don't kill those suckers dead, they are going to intelligently morph, mutate, evolve. They can evolve in 30 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you will have something that you cannot kill. Now, no human technology does anything like that. And so where the science has been going is studying the profound cognition of cells and of living things, and also that living things change themselves. And I would say to entrepreneurs, if you have any degree of success in business at all, you actually understand evolution better than you even think you do, because what evolution really is, okay, how do I change myself, right? Like, we all have to wake up, all of us entrepreneurs, we have to wake up every morning and we have to be a little bit better than we were yesterday. And we have to be a lot better than we were last year. And the world does not sit still, and that is evolution. And we have to ask ourselves the question, this is one of the most important questions, what external thing do I need to bring into my world? What do I need to integrate? And as I integrate that, what do I need to subtract? And there's always a subtraction that has to happen. In fact, subtraction is the real magic in business. It's not any idiot can add. Any idiot can bring in some outside thing and like kludge it together. But we want something elegant, and that is subtraction.
So how does evolution 1.0 and 2.0 differ in terms of competition versus cooperation? Where does cooperation come in, and how does that help entrepreneurs evolve today?
So all big evolutionary leaps are leaps in cooperation. And I mean that very literally. One of the things that Lynn Margulis really brought to the attention of the world is that, so let's take out my window, I can see at least three or four beautiful big trees, and they're green and it's high summer right now. The reason the trees are green is they have chloroplasts, and most people in biology high school, they never told you what a chloroplast really is. You know what it is? It's algae. It is literally an algae cell living inside a leaf of a tree. It's got its own DNA. It reproduces independently. And the algae has a symbiotic relationship with the leaf. And it's like a deal. It's like, okay, the leaf says, I'm going to give you a 3-bedroom condo, and you take the sunlight and carbon dioxide and you turn it into energy. Deal? Okay, so you got a little generator unit, makes electricity, and you've got a condo, and the condo is a nice, safe, comfortable place to live, and that's a chloroplast in a plant cell. Now, in the laboratory, they've done these mergers, and what always happens in these mergers is both organisms have to give something up, and they have to negotiate, okay? So here's an analogy. You put a Starbucks in a Marriott lobby in a hotel, okay? Right. So what do you actually have to do? Well, you probably have to cut a big hole in the floor, and you have to extend some of the piping, right? And then run some electrical stuff, and then you put the coffee shop in the middle of the Starbucks in the Marriott, and it's integrated in. And a whole bunch of things have been precision surgically not only added but subtracted. They didn't just like drop it through the skylight from a helicopter and let it crash on the floor, right? That goes back to our purposeful versus accidental aspect, right? It has to be done very precisely and very delicately. And living organisms do this. And is there conflict in the process? Yes, there is. We could talk about that if you want. But ultimately, it's when the algae merges with the cell and makes a plant cell, you now have a capability. You could now make grass. You could now make trees. You could now make all the different things that we see having green leaves. And it opens up an entire new dimension of what kind of organism can exist in the ecosystem. And notice, please notice, you know, there's still algae in the pond floating around. It didn't make Starbucks go away. It didn't make Marriott go away. Some of the Marriotts have Starbucks. And so that adds a whole dimension to the customer experience. And so it's really like a really simple arithmetic problem. So it's like X plus Y minus Z is my new innovation. And you just need to stop and clearly think. So what's the X? What's the Y? What's the Z?
So that begins a model, and that's exactly where I wanted to go, Perry. Let's bring this all together before we go to break. How does an entrepreneur, they want to get to their first million, how do they utilize the principles you've been discussing to evolve their business, not just to get to that first million, but mindful of what it would look like to get to the 10 million. They just have to get to the first million before. So they're looking at a new way of approaching their business because, let's say, the old way didn't get them there, right? So now we want to evolve in a 2.0 way.
Well, so let me give you two quick answers to that. The first answer is you need very often to redefine your niche. If you exist and if you're paying your bills as an entrepreneur, you must have found some kind of a niche somewhere, right? You found a pocket of opportunity and of unmet need. If you're going to expand from 1 to 10 million, it's almost a dead certainty, 90% chance, you're going to have to sharpen your definition of your niche. And you're going to have to paradoxically go narrower,
right,
and find some part of the market that has been completely unaddressed by anybody else. And when you do that, it's like you'll go through this tunnel and you'll pop out into the other side. And on the other side, you'll find out, wow, this space is way bigger than the space I used to be in when I was doing more generalized things. It's a really paradoxical thing.
Well, there are two ways to get there. And I just want to throw this out and see if you think this is accurate, right? So one is you find the new definition that's different than what you had before. But it seems like a second way is to find the part within the whole that you had before.
Yes.
that is really the real part that you should be focused on.
Yes, that's right. So to use a sort of ridiculous example, so rewind 10 years when most cars did not have an iPhone or an iPod connect.
Or all the fun stuff that mine does where, like, if I slightly get out of my lane, it just brings me back into the lane, or it follows the car in front of me, right? All this stuff is amazing.
Any one of these features. So, yes, you can take just one feature. Like, if that is the thing that distinguishes you from all of the other cars, then essentially you're not even selling a car anymore. You're selling the autopilot capabilities of the car. It always comes down to that, like, diamond tip saw blade differential of how you are different. And what you want to do is you want to define that so that you become the number one player in a growing market, where if people are paying more and more attention to these features of cars, that you're the number one provider of that special feature. And if people want that, you're ahead of the game compared to everybody else. And that's true. I don't care if you're a graphic designer or a freelance copywriter or a manufacturer of cars. It's the same.
Well, and here's an interesting point. I'm about a year away from my next vehicle because I'm doing a 3-year cycle. And both of the vehicles I'm considering, although quite different, I've owned before. So I already know I like both of them. And so one is the Mercedes SUV and one is the Jeep Grand Cherokee. Now, here's the difference. Mercedes is going to be cutting edge with technology. Jeep's going to be 3 to 4 years behind because they don't focus on that. But it's rugged for off-road, and I live in a mountain state. So you see the conflict. You can go, yeah, I love the Mercedes, but the Jeep might be more specialized for what I want, which is camping and off-road mountaineering, right?
That's right.
But they both have a different niche, and that's exactly what we're talking about.
Precisely. Now, the other tip that I have is, I just want to give you a real practical example of symbiosis, symbiogenesis. If you're advertising, or even writing headlines, or you're in social media, which, I mean, almost all businesses, if you have a digital business, you have to get attention with your pictures and your headlines and your blog posts and your email subject lines and all that. The best advice that I can give you is, you need to import ideas from other places into the way that you write. It could be poetry. It could be copy from a completely different industry. It could be photography techniques that people in your industry almost never bother to use. It could be almost anything, but in your messaging, so X plus Y minus Z equals innovation. What I'm currently doing, so, like, everybody has a current blog post or a Facebook newsfeed item that gets the cheapest clicks and gets you the most traffic, or a Google ad that's successful. You go, all right, so what am I going to import in to this, even as it's just an ad with 80 characters? What am I going to subtract? And, like, what am I going to combine in here to make it better? That is the way that you're going to have a breakthrough. And it's going to fail 90% of the time. But the 10% that it does succeed will pay for the whole thing 10 times over.
We're here with Perry Marshall. We've been having definitely an interesting discussion on Evolution 2.0 for entrepreneurs. I want to let you know that I'd love to hear from you. But if you really have no interest in making a big impact with your life and you don't really want to get to your first million, then this wouldn't be right for you. I'd love if you have a six-figure business, you really want to get it to the first million, or maybe you're at a million, you want to get to two, three, or five. Text me, tell me about your business, give me your name. I will get back with you. This is my personal cell phone and I'm in Mountain Time, 303-641-0401. Again, that's 303-641-0401. And we'll be right back. I want to tell you about Cogent Analytics' free ebook on higher profit business engineering. This ebook shows you how you can plan for your profit so you can almost guarantee upfront what you can take to the bank. Engineering your profit will put you in control of your business instead of your business controlling you. Get the 6 steps to higher profit business engineering so you can set your business on a path to consistent profitability for the long run. Go to cogentanalytics.com/profit to download your free ebook now. Again, go to cogentanalytics.com/profit. Hey everyone, thanks for listening today. If you currently have a six-figure or larger business and you want to double it in the next 12 months, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a text and tell me about your business and I'll personally reply. Now, here's my personal cell phone. Text me at 303-641-0401. Again, my cell to text me is 303-641-0401. I look forward to hearing from you. Welcome back. I'm your host, J.B. Crum III, and I'm here with a good friend, Perry Marshall. He is the author of the book, Evolution 2.0, Breaking the Dead Block Between Darwin and Design. And we've been discussing Evolution 2.0 for entrepreneurs. Yes, it's time for the 24-hour challenge. Perry, could you give the challenge to everyone listening today?
So the challenge that I would like you to do, I'd like you to do two things. First, I would like you to start your day by at least 20 minutes with a piece of paper and a pen and no cell phone, no computer, no electronics, no text messaging, no email, okay? And I want you to pray, meditate, ask yourself questions, organize your thoughts, and mentally breathe onto your piece of paper the first thing in the morning. So I want you to do this tomorrow. And then that sets the stage for asking yourself, what niche should I be in that is growing 10% a year where I can be number one? And it's that adjustment that we were talking about earlier, that there's some narrowing of the definition of what really is unique about you. But when you're number one in that category and nobody else is competing with you, you actually find there's way more demand and way more customers than you previously believed. And that's the 24-hour challenge. And write down the question, what niche that's growing 10% a year can I be number one in, and keep coming back to it? Maybe feed it to your subconscious before you go to sleep and, you know, like mentally mail yourself a letter before you go to sleep, and then the next morning, maybe you can open that envelope and see what comes back.
Well, I love that because I believe in lean design and I believe in specialization. And I think that, you know, I'm on a lot of shows like you are, and people go, well, what's the difference between entrepreneurs who get to their first million quickly and those who don't? And I say, it's very simple. The ones who don't are doing 10 things. They have multiple markets, they have multiple offers, they have multiple things going on. And the ones that get there quickly have one market, one specific problem, one specific solution, one specific offer. It's all narrowed down and they get there quickly. So I think that is your fast path forward. And you really want to set a base, as we were discussing. It isn't just about getting to your first million. That's the first million. But what does the 10th million look like? And are you on track, or do you have to redo your whole business because you didn't really think about what it might look like at 10 million? You know, I want to just take this moment to thank you personally for showing up, because I know you showed up for yourself, that you're ready to take another step forward. And that specifically is why you're here. You want to make your first million. You want to make a big wave with your life, and you want to be fulfilled and have financial freedom. And we're here to help you take every step of the way. I want to especially thank our fans and friends in Little Rock and Buffalo, New York. Thank you so much for being friends of Conscious Millionaire. And now it's time for the Conscious Millionaire question. I'm really just going to focus on two today. What are three secrets you've learned from your massive experience helping entrepreneurs in 300 different industries grow their businesses that would help entrepreneurs listening grow theirs?
So the first one is, you need to know yourself and what your strengths are, and focus on your strengths. And I know that that is so cliche, but I actually have an assignment. If go to perrymarshall.com/pink-Kool-Aid with a K, pink-Kool-Aid with a K. And I have an exercise there. If you go through that whole exercise, it will narrow your focus to the superstar strengths that you have. What I've noticed is that entrepreneurs and businesses are always a reflection of the true strengths of an entrepreneur. And most people are beating themselves up against their weaknesses and their shortcomings and their deficiencies. And that is suicide. The second tip is that you need to be dead serious about being number one in some kind of a market. Being, you know, if other people can do exactly what you can do, you're in the wrong business. And that might not have been true 30 years ago, might not have been true in the 1980s, but it's true now. And the third thing is you need to open up space for spiritual time after you get up in the morning, before you dive into the distractions and the electronic media, because you cannot think another person's thoughts and your own at the same time. It's either one or the other. And the world's in a conspiracy to get you thinking their thoughts. And you need to wake up clear-headed, and you need to decide where you're going to move before you get any more input from the rest of the world.
You know, my final question, and I'm always curious with you because you're always evolving, is what's the legacy you want to leave?
I want to start a second renaissance. I think the first one was way too long ago. I think 500 years is too long between renaissances. So let's get another one going.
What do you want it to be about?
Well, I would be fine if it just had the attributes of the first one. Okay. And the first one was, it was a resurrection of value of older thinking. Like there's a phrase, if you need a new idea, read an old book. Well, the Renaissance people, they were combining three books. They were combining the Book of Science with the biblical stories and with the Greeks. Okay. And when those three things came together, they invented a whole new world. Well, I think this can happen again. I think we've gotten away from real science. We've gotten away from the archetypal stories. We've gotten away from the classical knowledge. But it's like there's nothing new under the sun, but symbiogenesis tells you that you can have something completely new by combining the old things. And so it's really this paradoxical formula where the new really does come from the old. It just comes from combining it in unanticipated ways.
I love that, Perry. I want to thank you for joining us because, you know, you are the reason I do this show. We're here to take you one step after another to get to that first million. But the first million is really just the start. Imagine what it'd be like to get to the first million and then you go to the 10th million. I want you to think about that today. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next Conscious Millionaire. Perry, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
Thank you, JV.
How do top entrepreneurs create a plan that almost guarantees what they can take to the bank? They engineer their profit up front.
That's right. They engineer their profit up front. Now, you can get the 6 steps to higher profits and get your business on the path to consistent profitability. Go to cogentanalytics.com/profit. Again, go now to cogentanalytics.com/profit to download your free ebook now.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed in the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.